How many know that God gave you, what was the reason God gave you two ears and one mouth? That is, you should listen more than you talk. Is that right? He gave you two ears and one mouth. He could have given you two mouths, right? He could have put one on each side. He could have put one in the front, one in the back. But he gave you two ears for a reason. And I think he wants you to learn how to listen. And I want to talk to you today. Donna is out for about 6 weeks. She's out on medical leave for about 6 weeks. Otherwise, I was going to make this huge ear today and have it sitting back there when you came in. And because today I want to talk to you about your ear. Everybody touch your ear, would you? Now, we all have different sizes and different shapes. And some of us have Dumbo ears. Some of us have, you know, little bitty ears. Some have pointed ears, you know, the Spock variety. Some of us have, you know, all kinds. We all have different types of ears. And, ever so often we get conscious about a different part of our body. And sometimes you'll get conscious about your ears. But nobody pays attention to your ears. Let me know that. Nobody, you think they do. Nobody thinks about your ears. You know, you think about it all the time, but nobody thinks about your ears. I always tell people all the time, stop worrying what people think about you because they don't. Come on, somebody. You got to learn that secret in life. They don't sit around the house thinking about you all the time. They don't think about you. And so I want to talk to you about ear. Go ahead and put our first scripture. Isaiah said, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. How many know a word can sustain somebody? You know, the word encourage, courage, and in, the word, the prefix en means to inject. It means to inject courage. When you encourage somebody, you're literally injecting courage into their life. How I can sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as though. Now watch this. The word that you're to give somebody can be from your own heart, which is fantastic. But many times what really encourages is when you have a word from God for them. Like the words this morning, when you hear from the Lord, the Bible says, despise not prophesying. You don't despise it. You get to a place where you begin to realize you judge all things, but then you keep that which is good and you cast away that which is not good. But if you become so cynical that you never receive anything, you never let the Lord affect your life, you'll never receive anything. All you'll end up in life is a cynic and a critic. And you'll never be able to receive. Isaiah says, morning by morning, the Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I want to talk to you today about he awakens my ear. He awakens my ear. Everybody say that with me. He awakens my ear. Father, we ask you this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit to open our understanding that we can hear your voice. We pray, Lord, morning by morning, that what was possible yesterday is possible today and possible tomorrow. That you can awaken us and we can hear your voice morning by morning. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in the past, but our hearts desire for right now and for the future to hear your voice afresh and new today. And we love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be, look at somebody and say, you got good looking ears. Say it to somebody. What'd you say? You got some good looking ears. One of the most frustrating things in life is to know that God is doing something in your life, but you don't know what it is. And a lot of times what happens is you need to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to you. A lot of time we spend our lives in a state of confusion because we're not clear about what he is doing. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord does not want us to always be like Mr. Magoo. Remember Mr. Magoo? Always walking through life. He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be able to hear and to know what he's doing in our lives. He's not hidden. He's not some hidden thing. He speaks continually. And the Bible says, Isaiah said, he awakens me morning by morning. My ears are getting a wake-up call. And today I want to talk to you about that. If my ears are to be awakened morning by morning, that means that it is possible to have been awoken yesterday and not to be awake today. It means I could have heard yesterday, but if I did not take the time and I did not seek the Lord, I did not draw near, then it's possible to get up this morning and have my ears not awakened. Some of you, when I greet you, I don't think your ears are awakened. I don't think your brain's awake. Some of you are dragging in. Some of you are wide awake. Others are, I know some are morning, some are evening. But there comes a point where you've got to learn and every day realize it's a new day. It's a new day for him to awaken my ears. It's a new day. Lord, today I want my ears awake. I want to be awake to what you have to say. I want to know what you're saying to me. And so we know that we've heard is one thing, but what we're hearing is another thing. I think you'll understand this in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. This is a foundational parable. Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable?" That was a parable of the sower and the seed. And he gave this parable and he said, and here's what he said about it. "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And it's almost as if that parable was a foundational parable. And he said, if you don't understand this one, then how are you going to understand all of them? Because it had to do with the heart issues, had to do with being able to understand it. And it's a watershed, a foundational teaching of the New Testament. But I want you to notice in verse 33 is what he said. He said, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." And listen, it says, "With many such parables," everybody say parables. "He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." Now, you know what I've learned in life? Jesus is always trying to speak truth to us. But many times we do not have the ability, we're not able to handle the truth. How many of you know there's some people you just can't tell the truth to? You don't lie, you just don't say it. You tell them their socks don't match, and next thing you know, they're up in your, come on somebody. You can't tell them the truth. They're not able to, what do you mean I got an attitude? What do you mean that didn't sound good? What do you mean that don't look good? What are you talking about? They don't have the ability to receive truth. And the Bible says Jesus knew that about humanity. And when he was dealing with his own disciples, he said, "I could only speak to them as much as they were able to hear what I was saying to them." So he spoke to them in parables. Let me tell you what's good about a parable. A parable's good because he could tell you a story and then walk away and you don't get it till later, so you don't explode until later. Come on, somebody. A parable has a great way of you know, what did he mean by that? Hey, wait, I don't know what he said now. And you don't have the ability to receive or the ability to hear what is being said to you. And so many times the Spirit of God is always speaking. He's always speaking truth. He's a spirit of truth. But he's not able to say to you what he needs to say to you because you're not able to receive it right then. I don't care how godly you think you may be, but he did not speak to them. In verse 34, it says this. He did not speak to them. The word able means dunamis. And the word, it means power. And so able, as they were able to hear something, means this, that it means you have the power to be able to hear what he's saying to you. You ever had anybody say, you ever been talking to somebody, you know they didn't hear you? You know. And then when it's all said and done, they didn't do or go or do or say or they did not do what you told them to do. As clear as the English language is. You have expressed yourself. We'll leave that right there, all right? So, you've got to learn to do that. It says, as they were able to receive it. John 16, it says, and I think I've got this one. It says, hey, we're not able, says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. So, he only could speak to them as they were able to hear. Let me tell you about our lives. Jesus can only speak to us as we're able to hear. That's why this morning, some of you will walk out and say, that's the best preacher. That's the best sermon that guy's ever preached in his life. Others, you'll walk out and say, I didn't get much out of that today.
Come on, somebody, help me here.
It may not be the speaker. It may be the receiver. Come on, somebody. And then you'll be thinking about it during the week and something hits you. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe he said that. It just comes to your mind. Or you begin to say, well, you know what? You begin to do something and something hits you all of a sudden. And suddenly the Spirit can speak to you because you're able to hear it now where you weren't able to hear it on Sunday. All right? To get to his ultimate intention for our lives, he's got to tell us the truth. But many times he's not able to do that immediately. So he tells us, as I said, he tells us parables, and it does things in our life. That's why I've always wondered. You remember when Peter was on the housetop? You remember when he was on the housetop praying, and they were in the house finishing, getting the meal ready. And the Bible says a blanket out of heaven comes down, and on it is pigs and dirty animals. And a voice from heaven says, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. You remember that? I've always, you know, it does it three times, and Peter had a clue what's going on. And then when the third time's finished, he hears a knock at the door, and it's some Gentiles, and they're asking him to come and preach the gospel to him. And he says, and then it came to him, days later, he's out there, he's preaching, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles as they did on them at the day of Pentecost. And this thought comes to Peter's mind. The Lord has received them like he received us. But Jesus, it had to take days of marinate. Come on, somebody. Marinating a few days to finally get through that thick, you know, Jewish skull of his. And I always used to think, why didn't Jesus, instead of putting a sheet down, why didn't Jesus just appear on the housetop? Say, Peter, I like Gentiles just like I like Jews. And so they're going to be in the family too. So get ready, get over it, and go on with your life. He didn't do that, did he? You know why? Because Peter wasn't able to hear it. So what did Jesus do? He spoke to Peter in a parable. And the parable had to marinate long enough to where he could receive what was being said to him. See, we think we get it all, but it takes time. You know, in the heaven, the Bible says there's angels, and all they do is cry, holy, 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 and fall down before the throne of God. They get up, they cry, holy, holy, fall down in. Some people believe that they've been assigned an occupation of some repetitive task. I believe they've been assigned a task of new revelation. Every time they raise up, they see something new in God, and they can't stand it. They just fall down on their face one more time because he's so big, and we can't get it all at once. And that's why morning by morning, he awakens my ear. Morning by morning, new sights I see. What's the old song? You know, I think it was an old song, morning by morning. And so you begin to see new things in the Lord, and you get a new revelation. You train your ear. Everybody say, touch your ear right now. Say, I'm able. Would you say, I'm able? I'm able. I'm empowering my dunamis with my ear to hear what the Lord is saying to me. And the Lord began to speak those things. In Revelation 2, it's got a phrase that's said over and over again. It says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Look at the next one. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And this, he who has an ear, and I'm not going to read them all, but all through the book of Revelation in chapter 2 and 3, every time he gives a word to the church, here's what he says. Whoever has an ear in that church, let them hear what the Lord says. You know what that tells me? Some people in that church didn't have an ear to hear. Some people would not hear what the Lord was saying to that church. And every time he gave a word to the church of Smyrna, Philadelphia, Laodicea, he said at the end of it, now I gave you a word, but here's the key. Everybody that's got an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This morning when Sveta gave a word about bitterness and letting go of your past, there's some of you that needed to, but you didn't hear it. There's some of you that needed to get that, but you didn't hear it. And the Spirit speaks to the church. And so he would never say that if it wasn't possible for you not to have your ears awakened. And as he spoke to the church, not everybody got it. There's an ear. Do you have an ear this morning? Do we have a picture of an ear? You know, a human ear. The way that God made the physical ear is he made the ear into three parts. And there's an outer ear. You know, that's where you got to get that wax out of there. You know, some of you got wax in your ear. There's a middle ear, and then there's an inner ear. And this is how God made our physical ears. And many times it's first in the physical and then in the spirit. But many times he duplicates in the spirit what is taking place in how he made the things in the physical. And when he speaks of a ear, he that hath an ear, one of the more important parts, give me that drink, would you? One of the more important parts of your hearing spiritually Oh, she didn't hear me. That's right. It's a disease that she's had for years. The inner ear, the ear is not only used for hearing, but how many in ears ever had an inner ear problem? Let's see, how many has ever had an inner ear problem? You know what happens when you begin to get an inner ear problem? You lose your equilibrium. Your ear is not only created for hearing, but for balance. And one of the keys about life is, I've learned this in life, you've got to learn how to balance yourself. Revelation 2:7 says, it speaks about it, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And what I've noticed in people's lives is when they no longer are hearing from the Lord, they get unbalanced. They begin to believe anything. They begin to believe what the world says or someone else has put in their life. They no longer are able to receive truth, but because, and they become unbalanced in their life. You know, one of the biggest lies told in America and around the world is on the issue of abortion. And I'm going to do something Wednesday night, and I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It's graphic. It's graphic. It has to do with the Holocaust and all this and that. So if you want to come Wednesday night, it's graphic. But I'm going to show you a 33-minute video, and then we're going to talk about it. And it has to do with, I'm going to show you a little clip right now because, bring the lights down just for a minute, would you? Here's the key. What happens in life is this. Many people in the world, like Sveta said, they're outside the church. They have all the things we have, but they've never been told the truth about certain things. And all they've ever gotten is word from Oprah and Dr. Phil and, you know, all the rest. And that's the only truth they've gotten. They've gotten from their local doc, you know, their local whatever. So listen to all that. And I want you to watch this little video and then I'm going to talk about
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So if you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who is for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
Are you going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
I feel like it's more of a choice. Yeah, when you put it that way, it does change your mind.
Would you vote for someone who is pro-abortion?
Yeah.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I have. I believe that people have the right to choose.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I've just changed my mind about abortion.
Are you going to vote differently in future?
Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah. Sometimes it's necessary if you're in the situation where you can't support a child.
So you're saying that you're changing your mind about abortion right now?
Yes. Yes. It's a woman's right to choose, and every situation is a different situation.
Are you going to vote differently and think differently about this?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I definitely would.
I'm for abortion. It's never okay to kill a baby in the womb.
Okay, so you're going to change your mind about abortion?
Yes, I am.
You're going to vote differently in future?
Yes, vote against abortion.
What was it that changed their minds in a matter of seconds?
Wednesday night, I'm going to play that 33-minute video that what was presented to these kids, and it changed their mind because everybody say they heard. If all they hear is one side, then they got stands. Many of them have never heard the other side. Let me tell you what happens when you awaken your ear. You become balanced. When you hear and you hear from the Lord, you become balanced where before you were off balance. So I want to talk to you because what happens in life is this. We spend, let me just say this. If you don't have an ear, you can put, society is so unbalanced because many of them have never heard and they've heard a very unscriptural and an unbalanced view of what we believe, especially in the area of abortion. CNN is not pro-choice. It is pro-choice. They're not anti-abortion. And so they put this propaganda out there all the time. And so what I want to do Wednesday night, and I'll warn you ahead of time, it's graphic, but if you want to come, you'll see what changed these kids' minds in just seconds at a time. Now, let me say this. We are so unbalanced sometimes that our lives become unbalanced. And we just finished, you know, the World Series just finished the other night. But the World Series is great, but it nowhere rivals the unbalanced life of the Super Bowl. Let me tell you, when we're heading up toward the Super Bowl, it is the most unbalanced society that I've ever seen. Let me tell you what I mean by that, and I'll just kind of go from there. Bring the lights back up, would you? We're kind of dark. We don't have any more. Listen, we spend more to win the Super Bowl than we do to win people to Jesus. Let me just hit on that. I may be your, but let me speak of the Super Bowl to prove it to you. Do you know, anybody know how much we spend as a world when the Super Bowl, anybody know how much money is spent concerning the Super Bowl every year? Last year, $5.6 billion. $5.6 billion. Guess how many people watched Super Bowl last year? Anybody know? Guess how many people watched Super Bowl last year? 232 countries, 151 million people watched the Super Bowl last year. Do you know how much a 30-second commercial was last year? $2.8 million. Let me just show you some of this unbalance. Do you know how much we eat at Super Bowls? 8 million pounds of popcorn. 28 million pounds of potato chips. 53 million pounds of avocado. Lots of guacamole there. And poor chickens. 1 billion chicken wings. That's why all the chickens in America don't have any wings. They just walk around. 1 billion chicken wings. And Anheuser-Busch is so happy we drank 325 million gallons of beer for one game. We're not talking the year. We're not talking, you know, a week. We're not talking a month. This is for one game. And so if we spent that much and ate that much and drank that much, that must be so important. So important. Really? Well, let's do a test. Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Who won? No. We spent $5.6 billion, killed a billion chickens. Come on, somebody. Ate all the thing. Who won the Super Bowl? All right, let's try this one. Who? Don't put it up yet. Who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago? It's so important. We spent so much money and ate so much potato chips. It's so important. Who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago? The Colts won the Super Bowl 4 years ago. All right. Who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago? No. It's so important. We spent so much money and so much time. And hey, who won the Super Bowl? The Giants won the Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Wrong. The Steelers won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Who won the Super Bowl a year ago? The Saints. Who won the Super Bowl this year? Oh, God. It's so important. We spent so much money on it, and we killed so many chickens and sliced up so many avocados. On it. It's so important. You know what brings me? You know what? Till you get your ear awoken, all these things will be so important to you. They'll grab you. You consume. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy them. Doesn't mean we can't part. But when you get your ear awoken, it puts it in proper perspective. John Wesley said this, and I'm going to tell you, I've never forgotten it. He said, I now value all things only by the price it will have one day in eternity. Watch this. He said this. He said, here it is. He said, here is it. We'll use this last week. I'm going to use it one more time. This is a timeline of our life. And the red part is your time on earth. The rest of it is your life for eternity. And John Wesley came to this conclusion in his life. He said, here's how I want to live this red part of my life. He said, I want to, whatever I'm going to do, whatever I'm going to be a part of, whatever I'm going to own, whatever I'm going to be. He said, it's going to be in this little red part. He said, I want to calculate the right value of it. And he said, what I want to do is I want to see what it's worth one day in eternity. He said, I don't want to value it, you know, what the world values it and what they say it's worth and what it's I don't want, I'm going to value everything in my life with what it will be valued one day in eternity. Now think of this, what will the Super Bowl be valued in eternity over here? So John Wesley said this, he said, if that's what is going to be valued over y'all out there, that's what I'm going to value it right here. He said, I'm going to value everything in my life. I'm going to value it with the value it will have one day in eternity. I will value it with the value that it will have one day in eternity. I will value it. That's why Jesus came on the scene. And they had begun to value the Sabbath day, Sunday, to such an extent. Jesus says, one day in eternity, the Sabbath day, they won't be there. It has no value. That's why he said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. He began to come back. He says, God values mankind above all these things because one day these things, what will a man exchange for his soul? Because his soul is so valuable out here, but the things he exchanges his soul for mean nothing out here. So think of this, what will a Super Bowl value? Not much. Unless you use it to win the lost or heal family relationships or get together, it has value of that sort. But it had much value in and of itself. Think of this. What about a family that's healed and a family relationship, a marriage that doesn't go through divorce, but they stay and they work it out and they fall in love with Jesus? How much value is that over in eternity? Tons. You begin to value everything in your life with what it will be worth one day in eternity. And what happens is you begin to put the price tags right. You begin to do it right. You begin to hear from the Lord. And the way you do that is you begin to hear correctly. Having an ear that hears keeps us in balance. You know, let me ask you, do you have an ear that hears this morning? Did you awaken this morning? I remember sometimes it was easier to hear. You know, our kids are grown and gone now. And it's a whole lot easier to hear from the Lord than when they were little. Screaming and crying, and mommy, and fix it, and run, and run, and run. I understand that. There are seasons. But I'm going to tell you, every day you can have some time where you can say, Lord, I want my ear awakened today. I don't want to go through life deaf spiritually. I want to hear on and on and on. And what you learn is this. When Jesus spoke to the churches, every one of them, he prescribed a different medicine for them because of a different ailment that church had. And the worst thing you can do is come to church and deaf an ear and hear somebody else say something and then go take their medicine. What you need to hear is the word for you. My dad's sitting here. When he was a little boy, he and his brother, his younger brother, they put on some white coats. And they had an uncle who couldn't see anymore hardly. And they dressed up like doctors one time. And they went and got them a big old bottle and got them a piece of bread. And they made little pills and rolled up that bread like little pills and stuff. And they came in with their little hats and all. And they came in that room acting like they were doctors, doctor and their uncle. And their uncle thought there were doctors come to see him. Fed him all these pills, you know. He started feeling better. Come on, somebody. We call that psychosomatic. So what happens is you need to know your own prescription. I told you the story where I was taking my prescription one time and I kept getting hungry, and realized I was taking my dog medicine. Come on, somebody. You got to take your own prescription. You don't take somebody else's. And sometimes you can take somebody else's and it works. Let me know that. Yeah, it works. Yeah, I got the flu. You got the flu. Here, take some of them. Here, take some of mine. Here, take some of mine. And so what happens in life is, though, there will be times when you'll take somebody else's medicine. It won't do you any good because you may not have what they had. And it may not be the right dose or whatever. So you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To you personally, to you, Psalms 107 says this. It says, he sent out his word and healed them. How many know if he sends his word out, but if you don't have an awakened ear, you'll not hear what he said? He can send his word, but if you don't have an awakened ear, like I said in the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So you've got to ask the Lord, Lord, help me awaken my ear. Lord, let me hear what you're saying. I don't want to go through life frustrated, not knowing it. The problem is most folks don't work with God in their life, and they end up in frustration and struggles. And they're always swimming upstream, always fighting against the current because they're not listening to God. Let me tell you, if your prayer life is this, oh God, fix all these people around me. There's so much conflict around me. Everybody I know is in conflict. You better look at yourself. Come on, somebody. You might start thinking about looking at yourself. You know, we've had some guys, we talked to a guy a while back about, I think he was on his fifth or sixth marriage, and it finally dawned on him, maybe I'm the problem.
Can I get a better amen?
Listen, what happens is, some of the most religious people, that when you ask them the way to the post office, you can't get anything out of them till they give you 12 scriptures to tell you how to get to the post office. Because sometimes, listen to this, regurgitating information is not the same as revelation. Religious people confuse information with revelation or enlightenment. Because you can know all this stuff and you need to know it. But if you don't hear from God, all you're doing is regurgitating information. Some of the worst productive people I know were A students in school. Because all they knew how to do was regurgitate what the teacher told them. They never learned how to think for themselves. They never learned how to listen. They never had their own thoughts. All they learned to do was regurgitate the information given them. And so some of the worst creative people, that's why Einstein was not very good in school. You know, it says as a student, he wasn't very bright. You ever seen that commercial? As a student, he wasn't very bright because he didn't just regurgitate what he heard. He had new thought. He was thinking for himself. He was hearing, but at the same time, he was saying. So what happens is this, the scriptures, you don't need to just regurgitate. It can be able to hear. The Lord begins to work on you and you'll be able to hear. Say, Lord, help me hear what you're saying to my life. So what happens is, if you don't hear from the Lord, you just regurgitate. So hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. 2 Timothy 4 says there's people like this. Is the time's coming and people will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, but have itching ears. Itching ears. Not awakened ears. Itching ears. That means all they want to do is hear what they want to hear. They're not able to hear truth. You've been around people like that. They're time bombs. You say something to them, they just blow up. You know, God wants your ear. Exodus chapter 21. It says, when you buy a Hebrew slave, you shall serve 6 years, and the seventh year will go out free for nothing. But if he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, he'll go out married with him. His master gives him a wife, she bears, on and on, go verse 5. But if a slave plainly says... Now, watch this. A slave had to work 6 years, and on the seventh year, he was free to go. But if the slave came and said, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God and shall bring him to the door of the doorpost. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. You know, the Lord wants your ear, but he wants it, you giving it freely. And he wants you nailed to the house of God. He doesn't want you nailed to Oprah. He doesn't want you nailed to Dr. Phil. They have their wisdom, and some of it is true. But you got to get into this place. Like Miss Sveta said this morning, they don't have the spiritual part of the Lord. They don't know the Lord. And what happens in life is the Lord wants your ear. He will. You may have been a slave to the things of this world, but God will come and nail you to his house. That is where you won't listen to another above him. You'll glean in all this, but you won't listen. You know, John chapter 8 said it this way. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and nothing to do with truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The roaring lion that goes about seeking to devour. And we've been to Africa many times. And the roaring lions were not the lions that were strong. The roaring lions many times were the old lions. No teeth, no whatever. All they had was their voice. And the devil has been stripped of his power. The devil has been stripped. He has been demoted. He has been dealt with. But what he has left is his voice, his lies. Jesus said it very plainly. He said, be careful what you hear. Be watchful what you hear. Because he said that is the tactic of the roaring lion to bring lies into your life. He'll tell you your husband doesn't love you anymore. He'll tell you your wife doesn't love you. He'll tell you that you need to do this, you need to do that. You just need to kill yourself. You'll be driving down the street, and next thing you know, a thought will come in your mind. Just pull your car in the other lane, head on. Take those pills, go on, do this. He is a father of lies. And Jesus says, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you listen to. Who has your ear? Who has your ear? Does the master have your ear? Little Samuel wrote in 1 Samuel, he said, speak. The Lord came and stood calling at other times in Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Remember, Samuel had heard the voice of the Lord two times before. Didn't recognize it, didn't know it. But his ear was being trained. His ear was being awakened. And this morning, what you need to do is you need to begin to ask the Lord, Lord, help me train my ear to know it's your voice. There may be other voices, but I want to know your voice. Some have given their ear to bitterness. Others have been given their ear to lust. You need to give your ear to the Lord this morning. What happens is you'll be reading the Bible and you'll see yourself in the Bible because your ear is awakened morning by morning. You need to get up every day and get in the Word of God, but you don't need to just do it by rote. You don't need to do it just by getting information so you can regurgitate it. What you need to do is say, Lord, awaken my ear this morning. Father, I need to see. I need to hear correctly. Lord, awaken me. And what happens suddenly, it becomes revelation instead of information. It becomes enlightenment instead of just some dead words on a dead page. It becomes real. It becomes meat to you. Jesus said that. He said, listen, you have to understand it. You ask the Lord to awaken your ear. Amos 3 says, the heart of the Lord says, as a shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued. You know what he said? He was a picture of a shepherd, and Jesus is the true shepherd. It's a picture of a sheep being devoured by the enemy, by a lion, and already ate everything, and all that's left is a couple of legs and a piece of an ear. And Amos says a true shepherd will do this. Even with that shepherd will go after that lion and rescue what's left. And I want to zero in on the ear part because he said, if he can just get a piece of your ear, you might be so into junk. You might be so bound this morning. You might be so far gone that he said, there's no hope for me, Pastor. I've been devoured. I haven't listened to God for years. And now I'm devoured. My family's devoured. We're going down the tube. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, if I could just get a piece of your ear this morning, I'll rescue you. I can recreate you. I can make you new. I can do something in your life that's totally different. You know what I love? The story of Peter in the garden when the Bible says those Roman soldiers came to arrest him, and Peter had a sword, swung that thing, headed. He was aiming for decapitation. He was going to cut that guy's head off. That guy slid sideways, I think, at the last second, and that sword just sliced that ear right off. And now he's a man without an ear. Come on, somebody, he's a man without an ear. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus reached down on the ground. I don't know about you. I'd probably put it right there in the middle of his forehead. I don't know about you, but Jesus reached down and put that ear right back on the side of that man's face. Totally wiped out all the evidence against Peter. Come on, somebody. Attempted murder. What did he cut your ear off? Where are your ears? But you know what he did was? I thought always about this. You know, Jesus still restores ears this morning. Maybe you lost yours. Maybe you don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. But you know what the good thing about Jesus is? He will restore your ears this morning. Come on, everybody stand up this morning. Would you do that? Give the Lord a good clap offering while you're doing that. Would you? Come on. Bow your heads if you would. You know, who has your ear this morning? The Bible says that he'll take it. And if you want it to be his, he'll nail it to the house of God. He'll nail it to the door. And you'll be forever marked that your ear belongs to him. Who does your ear belong to? Who are you listening to today? You're mad at your wife all the time. You're mad at your husband all the time. You're mad at your church. You're mad at your work. You're mad at your relatives. You're mad at everybody all the time. Who are you listening to? And the Lord comes and says this morning, I will do to you what I did to that servant. If it's a servant that had come to arrest him, if Jesus would do that to an enemy, how much more will he do it to you? If he'll restore the ear to an enemy, how much more will he do it to you? And Amos says, let me tell you how his heart is. If he just can get a piece of your ear back, he can do something in your life this morning. Father, I pray this morning for ears to hear. I pray for ears to not only receive information, but ears that can receive revelation. Morning by morning, you awaken us. Morning by morning, you awaken my ear. You open my ear that I can hear. Listen to this. I see two on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says they were sad and downcast and so empty of strength. And yet, listen to this. And yet Jesus walked with them. And here's Jesus walking with these two on the road to Emmaus. And he's still walking with them. But yet, listen, they don't know. They're listening, but they're not really listening. They're not receiving. They're hearing him talk about. And the Bible says their hearts begin to burn. But they hadn't really, really opened their ear. You know how it is when you get off a plane sometimes. And your ears are you know, just so pressurized. And you can hear, but you can't hear. You kind of hear it from a distance. And it rumbles. And your ears hadn't popped yet. And you know that feeling when suddenly your ears pop. And then you can hear again like you want to hear. And they're on the road to Emmaus and they're tired and they're depressed and they're fed up and they're disillusioned. Their dreams have been crushed and Jesus is with them. And yet they know it, but they don't know it. They feel something, but they're still tired. And the Bible says they get to that inn and they invite him to come in with them. And he dines with them. And the Bible says suddenly their understanding was enlightened. And they could see and they could hear. And the Bible says when their ears were open, their eyes were open, it says that Jesus vanished out of their midst. And the Bible says this, they got up and the 7 miles they just walked, defeated and disillusioned, they were stoked. I mean, they were amped. They were on a road. The Bible says they went back. And can you see their smiles on their faces? You see their heart. You see their pulse racing. And this morning, if you want your pulse to start racing again for your love for Jesus, ask him to, Lord, awaken my ear morning by morning. Lord, awaken me that I can hear your voice. And when you hear his voice, the tiredness goes, the depression goes, the disillusionment of your dreams goes. And suddenly you find your heart pacing again. You find it racing again with love for him. When you hear from him, and you begin to walk through a life. And Father, I pray that for everybody in this place this morning, I ask you, Lord, to open our ears and teach us to listen. We want to hear Jesus this morning. And everybody said a good amen. Can you give Lord a good clap offering this morning? Would you do that? Come on. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Go in the name of the Lord. Be blessed.